Not as easy. Okay. So this mood is sneaking into the camp. So this is our last full day on retreat. Some of you suddenly startled to find yourself here when it seemed like such a long hill. Others are already halfway to Johannesburg or London, Cape Town. So let's just really make use of this last day without getting heavy about it. Just some practical details. After supper, the evening will be taken up with the precept ceremony. And those that are involved in it, those that are taking precepts, if you could have a shower. and nothing's required of you job-wise, but if you can just make yourself available after supper. So some will be just getting the room ready. I'll come back to that in a moment. But those that are taking precepts, traditionally, if you just have a shower or wash or something, find some long brook and find yourself one of the sitting tops as well for the ceremony to put that on. It may mean stealing from someone else, but that's your first practice as a preceptee. Take where you need it. Okay. Okay. It's called the precept of generosity. but that's all, and then it's just to be available, and then perhaps you'll do that, say, during the time we would normally walk after supper, and then during that time also I think just everybody else, if that's all right, those that are not cleaning up in the kitchen, which is always number one job, just come here and you'll get directions as to how to move cushions and things like that, so that we're ready. And then we'll probably be ready for precept ceremony at the usual time that we sit, which is half past seven. And it's quite a short event. We don't get terribly ceremonial here, but that's as ceremonial as we get. Okay. So, just also by way of warning some of you that your sitting tops might be missing. Okay. All right. Otherwise, we'll just keep going as normal. There are things like books that will be put out for sale. Unfortunately, they're not a lot of books because they weren't reprinted in time, but there are kind of order forms and things like that. Okay. So today I think we will inaugurate the Via Ignorantiae.
What?
Where did you go to school?
I think my Latin's correct, but I think there are a few people here who would be able to correct me if it isn't. It's a path. It's the way of ignorance. Okay. Meaning the path to the interview room. Okay. Which has been built in the rain on the blood of slaves. I think I'm going to change it anyway and make it go another route. So we will have interviews, but I'll come to that in a moment. Okay. Wonderful. So we've been looking at this. In fact, let me read the koan again. It's just such a good story that I'm going to read it again. The second koan we've done this week. Tangling vines. Jiashan. Jiashan digs a hole. Means build a path. Okay. Anyway. Jiashan said, I have lived on this mountain for 20 years, but have never spoken of the central matter of our school. A monk asked, I heard that you claim never to have spoken of the central matter of our school in 20 years. In the 20 years you have been living on this mountain, is this true? Jiashan replied, it is. Thereupon the monk pulled Jiashan off his seat, and Jiashan retired to his room. The next day, Jiashan ordered a pit to be dug, then told his attendant to summon the monk who had raised the question the day before. Jiashan said to him, for the past 20 years I have spoken nothing but nonsense. Please, venerable monk, beat me to death and bury me in this pit. If you cannot beat this old monk to death, then beat yourself to death and be buried. The monk gathered his belongings and secretly departed. Okay. Great story. So we've looked at various aspects of it over the week, and different among us have looked at different parts of it. The central matter of our school it's a kind of a phrase that's used in two ways. Try not to get too detailed, and I'll probably misuse all sorts of philosophical words. You can correct me later. In one sense, it's used as just this world as it is, or this existence as it is, the central matter, life as it is, just this. And then terminology, just this. And that is happening regardless of what we think about it, whether we like it or not, whether we think we're aligned with it or not. Regardless of whether we are confused, enlightened, wise, stupid, careless, ill, healthy, whatever. It's just the flow of life. That's the sort of ontological fact of this existence. And you never quite know when the guys in these koans are how they're quite using words like the central matter. In one sense, it's sometimes used in that perspective. And that simply, and from that perspective, whether you're trying to get enlightened or not trying to get enlightened, whether you're having a good meditation, whether you understand koans, it's all really quite irrelevant. Whatever's happening is just simply going along. And the idea of making an effort to be enlightened or to be holy or to be good or to somehow improve the system is slightly absurd. It's just running along anyway, regardless of your efforts to improve it or meet the train. And in the Zen tradition, often, especially when students or monks are trying too hard and taking the whole practice too seriously, they are reminded that everything is just as it is, and really your efforts are of no significance at all. And in that sort of, from that perspective, teaching Zen is what they call selling water by the river. Okay. Selling water by the river. It's all a big hoax. It's worth nothing. They'll take the money anyway. Okay.
Sell the book.
What?
And sell the book.
Sell the book. Yes. 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 So beware. Be very sharp. But it may just be out of kindness. And that's a sort of an interesting, sort of interesting, sort of aspect of the teaching to always bear in mind, that when people are saying, I have nothing to teach, there are a lot of koans about Shakyamuni Buddha teaching nothing in his life. In this koan, I've not spoken of the central matter. I've spoken nothing but nonsense. That sort of teaching comes from that perspective, as it were. It's just playing with it. It's just playing with it. And in one sense, there's nothing to say about it. Like Alan Watts once said, I think in another context, it's useless. It's of no interest or value to say it's all happening, folks. It's all happening, folks. So, you know, of course, it's all happening, folks. That sort of stuff, you know. So now what? Okay. But from another perspective, from the perspective of our human lives, of this world of 10,000 things that we find ourselves in, we have a certain experience of this life. And remember, Buddhism is not a philosophy. It sort of says, what's our experience of this? And we experience a sense of, let's say, out of alignment with this essential fact, this ultimate reality, if you like, this world of just this. We experience a certain non-alignment, lack of alignment. In fact, the early Buddhist phrase, the term for suffering is dukkha, which simply means a wheel that's out of alignment. It's not centered in the middle of the wheel. Dukkha. So we have a sense of life just as it is, and we have a sense of not being quite in alignment with it. Technically, that's called suffering in the tradition. It's everything from sort of existential agony to just frustration and irritation and some sense of dis-ease. And we also have sort of intimations of alignment, of what that feels like. Moments of great clarity and openness and love. And that's our lived experience. That's our lived experience of our lives. And from that we develop, as it were, a sense of longing, of yearning for, let's call it alignment this morning, with what is, and a sense of the frustration when we're not. And out of that develops the life of practice, or the life of introspection, a considered life, as they used to say. And so we embark on the world of practice, on the way of practice. And in that use of the term, the central matter of the school is this movement from suffering to enlightenment. So that's the second meaning, that's the sort of more lived meaning, if you like, of that kind of terminology, the central matter, the great matter, our ultimate concern. Enlightenment, heaven. So we use the words in that way. And typically when we embark, we set out on this little journey of ours, we've heard it, we have a sense maybe of where it's going, a sort of sniff of it, but we don't really know. It's sort of setting out from shores of Portugal and Spain across the Atlantic Ocean, and the world being round, we just can't see over the other side. But we have some sense, some willingness to go for it. Anyway. The world isn't flat, I just have to accept that at some stage. All right. So we, typically we begin to meditate, we begin to read, we begin to come across teachings and so on. And one of the things we find when we meditate is that we encounter this tangled web that we spoke of yesterday. This knot. Okay. And what we thought may be a straightforward path over the edge of the world is longer and full of stuff. Okay. So again, just let's not mix too many metaphors here. If we stick with a web, the knot, it's like a fisherman's knot. And we see it, and we see that when we try and untangle it, we end up pulling it tighter. We pull, we see, here's a loose thread, and we yank, and the whole thing goes, okay. And so, slowly, very slowly for some of us, just a whole lot of stuff doesn't work, you know, and we try, we charm it, we smile, we blow a little Indian flute and see if it'll do something. And it's just not working one way or the other. And we develop strategies for sort of fixing this problem. But strategies and it don't work. And we begin to think that the whole edifice of needing to fix things is itself a bit suspect. So we play with that a bit and so on. We also typically will find that when we've slowed down and begin to look at this for the, in a sense, with some care, that we also find that there are certain things that appear to to untangle the knot, or that the knot disappears, the whole tangled thing seems to dissolve or evaporate. Comes back, of course, but suddenly there are moments that are qualitatively different, and the sort of effort we make suddenly changes completely. Typically, again, the kind of thing that enables that to happen or allows that to happen are moments of forgiveness, for instance. Moments of repentance. Moments of admitting fault. Laughter. And sometimes dealing with great suffering that just changes the way we look at things. Perhaps even the close attention to a very delicate skill. And of course, the kind of awareness of meditation itself is one of those moments, or enables, or is part of the moment of disentanglement. Selfless, spacious, loving attention, awakeness, awareness. So our path proceeds in this way. We find webs and tangles, and we find moments of opening. And these begin to shape our path one way or the other. And we continue. We find our own particular way that we have to tread. And the process becomes our life. That process becomes our life. Those who practice formally have a sense that it is central to the way we go. We also have a life outside of practice where we, as it were, play the game that we've been practicing. And we do that as best we can, because we've stopped playing scales, we're now playing the music. And then we come back and we practice and we refine our skill, we refine all the bits and pieces of this path that we're traveling. And we go out again and we come back, and this is our life. And each of us will have it, our own way of doing it. Each of us will need different things. Each of us will find different things. And amidst all this individual finding and losing is a sense of us practicing together. A sense that other people are also doing their best in this way. That other people are looking out for us. And we probably won't know anything about them. We don't, but we know that they are willing to regard their life as important, and the quality of their life, kind of life they lead, as fascinating. Fascinating. And so a life of meaningfulness begins to grow. Okay. So yesterday I asked if anyone had any questions. A lot didn't. So we talked about the weather and things. Some asked important questions for their life. And as you soon became aware, I'm not very good at giving advice. I think the most useful thing I did yesterday was tell someone where they could fill up their car on the N1 to the hospital. But today, I always promised to be quick, who knows. we were quick. today I want you to bring me a question again. I want you to bring me a question that shows me the great matter. The central matter of the school. I want you to bring me a question. In other words, ask me a question that shows me you are holding the central matter of the school. Okay. And I'll probably let you go home with it if you don't. But you have to come back next year to see what the answer is. No, I'm sort of teasing, not really. But if you can, just a question that comes out of your practice, out of your interconnectedness with this life, a practice question, and we'll have a look at that. Okay. And you can walk the Via Ignorantiae to do it. It's even got a slight camber as you come out of the corner towards the main straight.
You notice.
Unfortunately, it's a camber the wrong way.
Drainage. Get centripetal.
Wonderful. Just have a great morning, and we'll see you
later. Slowly.